preaches the Word of God. So that's a blessing. I want to encourage you, before we get into the message tonight, let me just say this, that church, I know that I'm preaching to the choir. I know that many of you will just understand what I'm saying, but I hope that you will always love your pastor and know that, you know, he's your friend. He cares about you. Years ago when my dad pastored in Tremont, we had a liberal preacher in our town, and I mean extremely liberal. He made a comment one time about the Lord Jesus Christ, almost implying that he was illegitimate. Well, it's hard to believe. He got in his pulpit one day and he said, "Born again. That Baptist church down the road, they're not going to rest until everybody in this town is born again." He said, "Born again. I don't even know what that means." From his pulpit. Wouldn't you? And I asked somebody one day, they said, "You know, our preacher, he doesn't preach the Bible." And I said, "Well, why don't you go where the Bible's preached?" "Well, he's such a nice man." And I said, "He may be a nice man, but he's not your friend." And can I tell you, a man of God that preaches the Word of God, and I know the spirit of your pastor, he preaches truth, but he holds the truth forth in love. Love your preacher. And then let me say this, labor with your preacher. And I know many of you do, but I'll tell you, many hands make light work. It really makes a difference. And not everybody can do everything, but everybody can be involved in some way in the work of God. And then I'll just say this, lift him and his family up in prayer. Pray for your preacher. Now, the Bible tells us we're supposed to pray one for another. And I love it when Paul said, "Brethren, pray for us." And you might think, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or I've had people say, "Brother Graham, I wish I could do more. All I can do really as far as being helpful is to pray for you." Can I tell you what an encouragement that is? I preached at a church one time when I was, I think, 15 or 16 years of age. And the church there was such an honor to preach there, a little country church. And I mean way out in the country. In fact, as I've preached several revivals since then, and I think I'd go a new direction every time I get there. But anyway, the pastor at that time ended up pastoring that church for 47 years. And faithful man of God out in the country. And boy, I was so honored to preach there. Many, many, many years later, I was preaching in a conference in Jerseyville, Illinois, and a couple from that church, by now they were getting up in years, they drove to the meeting, and it was a pretty good drive from where they live, and after the service, they came up and said, "Brother Ken, we drove over to hear you preach tonight, but we also came to tell you something," and said, "We've never mentioned this to you before, but you came to our church when you were just about 15 or 16 years of age and preached for us. And we asked ourselves, what could we do for this young preacher? And we decided we were going to pray for you every day. And our children grew up hearing your name called in prayer, and they're all grown now. Our grandchildren have heard us call your name in prayer." And he said, "I'm not here to boast on us." Tears started running down his cheeks. But he said, "Brother Ken, I just wanted you to know, I may not live to see you again." I told my wife, "Let's go tell Brother Ken that it's been our honor to pray for him." By this time, I'm weeping. And I said, "You'll never know what that means to me. To know that somebody had been calling my name out to the Lord every day." He said, "Well, Brother Graham, you can talk directly to the Lord. I understand that. But it is good to pray one for another. Just sometimes knowing somebody's praying." And then I'll throw out a couple more. Let me just say, look for ways to be a blessing to him. Take care of God's man. You know, God will bless any church. When I went to Benton, we had some pretty significant financial struggles. And I'm not being critical. We had 6 loans. And, you know, I had to come up with a formula to pay them off and a few other things that we were dealing with. And so I went to the banks and met with the president of the different banks and gave them a Bible formula how God was going to get us out of debt and how we were going to get caught up and pay all the good bills that we had. And I said, you know, God will bless any church. First of all, we'll go after sinners. God wants us to reach the lost. You go after sinners, God will bless you. And I said, secondly, God will bless any church that supports missions, which is still going after sinners and planting churches and all the work of missions. And the third way that God will bless any church is taking care of God's man. And I said, look, it's not about me, but I can assure you when our church has the opportunity, we're going to take care of God's man. And you know, when I showed that little formula to him, the lady that was president of one of the banks, she said, when you left, I talked to the board and said, well, wasn't that sweet? He won't stay here a year. He didn't make this debt. He's sure not going to stay. But you know, when she retired as president, her husband had died, and then she remarried, and she said, my husband who had lost his wife, we're going to spend our senior years doing some traveling. But she said, Brother Graham, I just wanted you to know who our new president will be. But I want to thank you for staying. She said, when you gave me your little Bible formula, I thought, he won't be here long. And she said, but you were right. God bless the church. And I'm just saying, take care of God's man. And, you know, you can be an encouragement to him. And then let me say, not only to look for ways to be a blessing, but then listen to him when he preaches. Man, it's encouraging. And I know this. We don't preach for compliments. And you understand that. It's the Word of God. But boy, it sure is exciting when you know somebody's there to listen. And you know somebody's getting helped. And you know, it's all right. And I know this. You know, it's all right to say, preacher, that helped me. I needed that. Thank you for that. Encourage the man of God. Well, take your Bibles tonight and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And again, I just want to thank the Lord. Boy, some beautiful music. One of the songs that I've only heard, I think, maybe one other time. And so it was good to hear. And then one that I hadn't heard in a long time. And so it's kind of nice. I love the hymns. You got a lot of songs in your hymn book, and that's a blessing. Thank you for that. And it's so good. Those songs will bless your heart. They'll stay with you. They'll encourage you. And thank God for the good hymns that we have that we can sing together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would, let's begin reading in verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to preach tonight on this thought, no need to faint. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also, who raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he said, we faint not. What an interesting thing to think about here in verse 16. Paul said, for which cause we faint not. Number one, notice if you would, an amazing comment. Paul said, we faint not. Now think about this, the troubles that Paul faced in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible said this, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul said, there's been some difficult days in my life. Now, I said last night, I believe it was, we're not to, you know, just get focused on one bad day or one bad event. But Paul had faced a lot of them. In fact, is in 2 Corinthians 11. I'll read a few verses out of there. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul begins to speak here and he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Wow, that's amazing to think about that. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. He said, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have spent in the deep. in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. Paul said there's been a lot of trouble in my life, and you'd have to agree, that's a pretty long list. I don't know about you, I've had my complaints, and I've certainly have had my difficult and even what I would consider dark days. But I haven't been beaten 5 times. I haven't been imprisoned like Paul was. I haven't suffered in the perils that he talked about here. And my, what an amazing statement when he could say, in spite of the troubles, we faint not. But then the thoughts that many often feel. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 55 and verse number 4, this kind of reflects perhaps sometimes how we feel about the circumstances of life. He said this in verse number 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. The psalmist said, I'm in such a trial right now. If there was any way that I could just fly away like a bird and get away from the circumstances that are surrounding me, that I could get away from the trials that are upon me. And often perhaps we felt that way. Lord, could I just get out of this trial? Could I get out of this heartache? Lord, is it real? Am I really facing what's happening around me? Well, there's thoughts that creep into our mind. But then I remind you of the testimony we find. Paul said we faint not. Hey, Paul, what is your secret not to give up in the hour of difficulty, darkness, discouragement? How is it, Paul, that you could say we faint not? Well, notice big number 2. Not only an amazing comment when he said we faint not, but notice an alarming conflict. He said in verse number 16, he made this statement, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Paul said we have to deal with the challenge of our flesh. Now, I can tell you there have been times when I would, if I were asked, preachers, anybody ever give you any trouble, I might say, yeah, there have been a few along the way that have caused me some grief and heartache. But can I tell you the guy that's been the most difficult for me to deal with? Me. My flesh. And I'm telling you, Paul said there's the challenge of our flesh. He said, though our outward man perish, you know, the sentence of death is upon us. We're facing death as far as our body's concerned. I understand. We who are saved understand that when we die, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, and heaven is our home. But can I tell you something? In this body, sometimes we deal with things like difficulties. We deal with things like disease. And I'll tell you some heartaches of people that have gotten terrible diseases. I remember when my mother was diagnosed with cancer in 1989. And her first response when the doctor told her she had cancer, she said, I begin to cry. Now, she wasn't, throwing a temper tantrum, but she said the tears. Just that word, cancer, is a scary word. She said, but then I looked at the doctor and said, I guess I'll just have to claim Psalm 34 and Psalm 37. He said, well, ma'am, I don't know what that is, but if that'll help you, you might want to claim it. My mother went through a initial surgery and then a second surgery that was over 13 hours of extended surgery. And for the rest of her life, my mother's voice was limited. They took part of her tongue, took part of her jawbone, reconstructed her neck wall, removed the lymph nodes. It was a very, very extensive surgery that she went through. And for months, I mean, you know, just hovered between the potential of life and death and came home on a trach. And the rest of her life, My mother had to eat a soft diet, and sometimes she couldn't even eat, and there were a few times when they'd have to involve a feeding tube, but I remember my mother going through all of that. One time I took her to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Mrs. Graham, you have got to gain weight. You have got to gain weight. Whatever you have to do, I mean, you've got to get your weight up. We need you to get to at least 100 pounds, and whatever you have to do." He said, I don't care what it is. I know you have to go with the liquid diet, but he said, drink milkshakes. Drink as many milkshakes as you can handle till we can get your weight up. We left, and I said, "Mom, you're living my dream. Just once I want to go to the doctor and say, have him say, you need to eat a little bit more." I go to the doctor, and I'll tell you, as soon as you walk in the door, the nurse says, "Let's weigh." I told her, I said, "All right, you go first." She said, "Well, I don't want to weigh." I said, "Well, neither do I." But anyway, I told Mom, I said, "And then you get to drink all the milkshakes you want." I said, "Man, you're living my dream." And she said, "Honey, you'll never hear those words, I can assure you." And she just laughed about it. But, man, I'll tell you, the struggles that came in her life and the battles that she faced. And, you know, God saw fit to bring her through that. She went through another surgery in 91 and then, of course, lived till 2013. She was limited in what she could do as far as her activities, but she tried to serve the Lord the best of her ability. She would teach ladies in our church how to be a witness for Christ, how to win people to Christ, take them out soul winning. And she went through some difficult times. I remember she said one night I was laying in bed and the devil was just attacking her and saying, "You know, you'll never sing again." And Mom said, "Boy, I'm so discouraged." She used to sing with family in church and sing with ladies in the church. And she said, after a while, I just finally said I couldn't take it anymore. 1 o'clock in the morning, she said, I slid into the living room, sat down at the piano, began to play and sing, "Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer." And so she said, I sang that and then sang another song. She said, after a while, I said, "Devil, I may never sing again, but you can't have my song." I'll tell you, even in the midst of discouragement and difficulties facing diseases, God can give us some encouragement. Death is looming about us. We know this. It's appointed unto men once to die. Remember what David said to Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. He said, "There's but a step between us and death." Well, that's a serious statement. Not only the challenge of our flesh, but the conduct of fallen mankind all around us. If the corruption of your own fleshly nature doesn't make you want to faint, let me say to you, dear friend, that all the things around us, like the conduct of fallen men, will try to bring you down at every turn. The foolish behavior. Can you imagine in the day and age in which we're living of moral corruptness and mindless cruelty and malicious conversation are all working to try to get us to faint? You can't hear the news on the radio or pick up a newspaper, watch the news or get on the internet without reading unbelievable things. We're living in a very sin-sick world. And just about the time you think you've heard the worst you can, here comes something else. And you just think, what are they thinking? What is wrong with these people? It's insane, really, when you think about what's happening in our world. And yet Paul faced it in his lifetime. He said it here in chapter 4, at verse number 8, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Paul said there's a lot of foolish behavior around us. Why, the fiendish barbarians that lived in Paul's day, a lot of their ancestors seem to live in our day. Why, the craziness of things that you hear about, suicide bombers and workplace killers and people that would even slay their own families. And you hear that and you just think, how in the world could someone sink so low? And we understand the depravity of man and how vile and wretched people are without the Lord. But then even sometimes fallen believers, it's a heartbreak. And I've seen it and you have too, people that serve the Lord, and somewhere along the way, got out of the will of God. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Paul said, "For Demas hath forsaken us, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." You know, Paul had listed, he had listed him as one of his fellow laborers. He had listed Demas as one of his co-laborers. And I don't know for sure, but I think from all that I read in the scripture, he was a saved man who served the Lord but got distracted by the world and forsook Paul. And can I tell you, what a sad testimony to leave behind. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a used to be or has been or once was. I want to be faithful until the day he calls me home, whether it be by death or the Lord comes. I want to be faithful to him, dear friend. But oh, listen, our hearts break when we see those that depart. But if we get our eyes on man, we'll find a cause to fame. People will let you down. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. God said, you don't need to get your eyes on men. Now, men can be a good example and women can be a good example, but we need to keep our eyes on the Lord first and foremost. But then notice big number three. An arresting concept. Paul said, though our outward man perish, look at verse 17 or verse 16. He said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. What an amazing statement. The inward man is renewed day by day. Paul, why don't you faint? Paul said, it's not my flesh that's keeping me from fainting. Paul said, if I relied on my flesh, just like you, I would be so discouraged, I'd get out. But Paul said, I'm not depending upon the flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you, the songwriter said, and it will every time. But Paul said, it's that inward man. It's that new man. Paul called it a new nature. Peter called it a divine nature. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't you love it in Romans chapter 7 when Paul honestly tells about the battle of the flesh? But when he said this, I'm so glad he said it like this. He said, in me, he says, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm glad Paul didn't say there was no good thing in him. But Paul was saying, my flesh is not what has the ability to do right. But it is the one that dwells in me, the person of God through the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. And so we find here, Paul, why don't you faint? Well, I believe Paul didn't faint because of the provision revealed. Paul said the inward man is renewed day by day. How do I renew myself day by day? This is going to sound so simple. You'll say, we came out on a Thursday night and you're going to give us something this simple. How do you renew yourself day by day? This book right here. You need it every day. And you know, man, you get great help from your preacher, get great help from Sunday school, all the things that you're exposed to. But can I tell you something? Every one of us need a day by day time in the Word of God. It will renew you. It will strengthen you. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21, I read a few verses out of Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. The Bible said in Lamentations, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. He goes on to say, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The key statement, dear friend, is day by day. Listen, day by day, I need to renew myself every day. Listen, I appreciate the nourishment I received yesterday, and I got more nourishment today physically. And you know, I could go sometimes without eating. I mean, I do have a little bit of reserve. But you know, eventually, I could not sustain my life on the meals that I had back yonder. And I think too often in our Christian life, we're trying to press on the upward way And we want to gain the new heights every day, but we want to do it trying to live on the leftovers of last week's walk with God or last week's Bible time. And I'm not here to scold anybody. I'm just here to tell you, man, we get in the Word of God. It's fresh and new every day, just like His mercies are. God wants to help us to be renewed day by day, every day, every day. And then notice, not only do we find the provision revealed in the Word of God, but the promise reminder. I love what Paul said here in verse number 17. For our light affliction. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read everything Paul went through, I don't know that I would describe that as light. But Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here's the promise reminder. Paul said it's a light affliction for a moment. Well, it may seem like a day or a week or a month, but you know, sometimes our light afflictions. In my younger years as a preacher, I got so busy, and I'm not boasting, I got so busy, and man, I'll tell you, I look back on it now, I would not have admitted it in those days, but I almost became, without realizing, proud of the fact how busy I was. Day by day, never taking a day off, never taking any time, just run until one day, man, I'll tell you, my health collapsed and I went to the hospital and God really, it has a way of humbling you. And all of a sudden, I'm in the hospital for 2 weeks and then after that, I've got some recovery time from surgery. And so it's going to be a while before I get back in the pulpit. It was the early part of May and it was into July before I ever got to preach again. And it was like the Lord said, I'm just going to give you a day off for every day that you wouldn't take. And you're going to spend more time with your family and you're going to be more focused. And God really taught me a lesson there. But the Apostle Paul said, our afflictions for a moment. That seems strange, doesn't it? But notice, if you would, the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, of our affliction. Paul said it's light. We said, Brother Graham, how could it be light? This load I'm carrying is so heavy. Well, let's compare it to the cross of Calvary. And compared to what Jesus did for us, we'd have to admit, ours is a light affliction. We see not only the weight of our affliction, but also the weight, W-A-I-T, of our affliction. It's not only light, it's limited. He said it's but for a moment. Oh, listen, what a joy it is to know, dear friend, that no matter what we deal with or face or go through in life, whatever sorrow, whatever burden, whatever heartache, we don't need to throw in the towel and quit on God and think that God somehow has forgotten us or forsaken us. I want to remind you, He is faithful, and through it all, He's going to help us to realize it's but a light affliction for a moment. But then notice the purpose revealed. Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Worketh for us, not against us, but worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said, our affliction works for us. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. Can I just help you really quickly as we close? Number one, or maybe just encourage you, remember we are earthen vessels. I love verse 7 of this chapter. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Can I tell you one of the greatest things that you'll ever realize in your Christian life, it's not trying to get it all done, the energy of the flesh, but it's resting on the Spirit of God. We are blessed to have His presence in the fact that we are earthen vessels. Realize that if Jesus suffered and Paul suffered, why wouldn't we ever face any trials? And then let me say, recognize God has a plan for your life. There's something God is doing that will be a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I don't see the whole picture. I can't see the whole picture. There are things that I have seen in life and I look back and I say, Lord, I don't understand why. Sometimes I'm blessed to see the reason, but sometimes I don't know all the reason But I know this, I can trust that unseen hand that knows all the reason. And then remind yourself, it's for the glory of God. Whatever happens in our life, it's an opportunity to bring glory to God. A personal illustration, when my sister Karen was killed in a car wreck, she was 22, her husband was 23, and it was a shock and a lot of sorrow to our family. We went down to make arrangements at our local funeral home there in Tremont, and I knew that Mr. Davis was a Christian man. And we went in and, of course, made the arrangements for the funeral, and they came out to take care of everything. And I will never forget, just less than a year later, Miss Graham and I had our first little girl was stillborn, and I went down to make arrangements for a funeral. Miss Pam was still in the hospital and picked out a pretty little pink casket and got everything all put together. And Mr. Davis said, Brother Ken, I know that insurance won't cover a funeral for a stillborn baby, but we want you to know there'll be no charge. I said, oh, you can't do that. He said, no, everything's taken care of. There'll be no charge. And he said, last year when your sister died, we were working the funeral. He said, my son had been away from God. He said, my father was a preacher and I've been active in church. And my son got out of church, got away from the Lord. And he said, last year at your sister's funeral, he got right with God. And my son's back in church and serving the Lord. And he said, we've talked about it and we just want to be a blessing to you for setting an example. And I'm not bragging on us. What I'm saying is, sometimes when you go through things that you don't understand, you never know how God's going to affect somebody else's life. Somebody else that maybe you don't even realize is watching to see you go through that trial of affliction. But I know this, God makes no mistakes. He's faithful, and we can trust Him. Father, we thank You for Your word, the encouragement that it is. Paul said, there's no need to faint. He said, we faint not. Lord, around us, it seems like many have grown discouraged and even, Lord, in despair, and some have seemingly gotten defeated. But the truth is, Lord, we are on the winning side. We really do have the ability to go through the trials of life. We know that You're faithful. So, Father, I pray that this has been a help and encouragement to Your people. Lord, these dear folks have been so faithful night after night, and Lord, I just want to give them reminders that they already know that whatever might come up in the days ahead, that You'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.